It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball. Hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Big Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
3-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. That's how it ends. The Red Sox win it, and they take the series. 9-4, the final.
No small thing there for the Red Sox last night, if you ask me. No small thing. 9-4 victory over the Minnesota Twins. They win 2 out of 3 in Minnesota. And I told you this last night. After the loss, that 17-inning loss, I said, ooh, that one hurt. That was a potential backbreaking kind of loss. Like, that one hurt. For Alex Cora to come out and say the things he said before the game on Tuesday, and then the Red Sox to come out and lose in 17 innings, use their whole staff, like, that one hurt. But I said, I'll change my mind on it if they come back and win the series finale. See, I'm trying to be true to my word, Murray. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be true to my word and not just some a-hole talk show host that changes his opinion every day on purpose to stick it to the listeners. Right? I'm actually trying to be true to my word. So, two things we're going to get to out of the gate tonight here with the Baseball Reporters. And the number you know, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. 617-779-0985. That is your number on the program. And we'll take your calls on anything and everything, including the play of the Red Sox over the last 3 days, and really now a little bit longer than that, because I think a good series like the one they had against Minnesota validates their play of late. It's one thing to beat the Orioles. Nobody gives a rat's ass. But then to go into Minnesota and take 2 or 3 on top of it, I think changes things a little bit. And again, I'm just trying to be consistent. I do value the wins against a good competition, and I think the Red Sox did that this week. So the play of the team is number one on the list, or not necessarily in this order, but the first thing. The second thing is David Ortiz. So I'll tell you what, let me start there and then we'll get to the Red Sox. And again, if you have thoughts on either, 617-779-0985. We were on the air last night when the press conference was conducted in the Dominican Republic by the prosecutor's office there, outlining the notion that the David Ortiz shooting was a, quote, case of mistaken identity. I didn't believe it then. I certainly don't believe it now, a full 24 hours later. I'm not sure that I will ever believe that. For those of you that do, God bless you. I would encourage you to read some of the stuff that's out there today if you haven't already. There's a story today in the Boston Globe talking to people in the Dominican Republic, residents of the Dominican Republic who expressed the same sentiment that I did last night. I don't know how you could possibly believe that this was a case of mistaken identity. So one of the questions I have here in the last day, Felger seems to disagree with me on this, but that's fine. I mean, you know, again, that's what makes the world go round. Why haven't we heard from the Ortiz camp yet? If David Ortiz's attorney was going to come out a couple of days ago and say they've been in contact with Dominican officials, they're confident in their ability to conduct the investigation, and that they are confident that there will be nothing here that makes David Ortiz look bad in any way, shape, or form, or that he had done anything illegal. nothing that could be deemed, they're confident there will be nothing that comes out of this that deems David Ortiz to be, again, his image to be affected in any way from this. Then the Dominican officials come out. They offer where they are in the investigation, and the Ortiz camp says nothing. Like, I find that unusual. I find that unusual. And the question I would have to you is that David Ortiz certainly is worried about his reputation. I would be too. Who wouldn't be? Of course you're worried about your reputation. I always love the people who say, yeah, I don't care what someone thinks. Sure you do. Of course you do. Because perception is reality. We all care about it on some level. Some more than others, some to a fault. But on some level, everyone cares about it. Okay? It's just a question of degree. But secondly, let's say that this whole story about the shooting of Ortiz is a complete sham. The mistaken identity, the 10 or 11 people involved, it's all a sham. That means that whoever actually orchestrated the thing is still out there. If you're David Ortiz, is that what you want? If you're David Ortiz, do you feel safe going back to your native country? Does any of that actually work in your favor? Because I don't think it does. Okay, again, that's just my two cents. 617-779-0985. As for the baseball team, you tell me as a fan, because I asked you on Monday night whether or not the game, the win over the Twins on Monday night, the 2-0 win, which might have been the Red Sox' best win of the season, I asked you then whether or not it changed your perception of the team. Most of you said no. I said it started to push me in the right direction. I wasn't there yet either. But then all of a sudden, they get to the end of the series and they win 2 out of 3 against a team that had the best record in baseball. And let's be honest, looked pretty good in the process doing it. I feel like they're back. I do. I'm borderline ashamed to say it because I don't want to be a sucker. But I feel like they're basically back and they're now playing at the level they should have been playing in. And more importantly, with the level of focus and grit and resistance that I would expect the Red Sox to play with year in and year out. And you know what tells me that? The game last night for this reason. They got up early, or rather they went ahead, they fell behind, then they came back and won the game anyway. And Eduardo Rodriguez, who felt like he was spinning his wheels in the middle innings there, put it together and gave him 7 innings on a night where they absolutely had to get 7 innings out of him. So to me, oh, it was an important series. I can't sit here and bitch about the fact that the Red Sox don't beat good teams and that they sweep up on a team like the Orioles and then run against good competition and lose. And the fact is that when you still weigh out the whole period over the last month or so, because that's really when we started to point out that this stretch of schedule was coming up against good competition, they still failed. In the bigger picture, they failed. They lost 2 to the Astros. They lost 1 to the Yankees. They lost another 1 to the Indians. They lost another 1 to the Rays. The only series that they won was this one. But I do feel like the last one is sort of the most important. And I want to see them carry this over into the break because I think it's important. I think the Red Sox need to go on a run here. I had Cam, the intern, look this up. They went 12-2 in the 2 weeks going into the All-Star break last year. And that meant something. Although with that team, they won constantly. So I'd like to see them go on something similar now. Go into the break with some momentum. And the only thing that worries me now is this stupid-ass trip to Yankee Stadium, or I'm sorry, against the Yankees to London, that I think could really screw them up in terms of travel and everything else.
Why are they doing this again? It's a Major League Baseball thing, right? Like they want to try to promote the game overseas.
Yes. And you know what, Murray? Honestly, I am so disinterested or uninterested in the games in London that I've read very little about it. I think they've sold a lot of tickets. I get that sense. Honestly, I have not followed it that closely. But I have zero interest in seeing the Red Sox play in London. Zero. And it's the only good opponent they have left here in the first half of the season. And I totally forgot that these games were overseas. I just remembered that this afternoon. And I went, well, there's your fly in the ointment. You got all these lambs on your schedule, the Blue Jays, the Tigers. You're playing all this dog crap into the All-Star break and finally appear to be playing your best baseball of the year. And you're going to get interrupted by a trip to London? Like, tell me that's not a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, no, it's, if nothing else, it just feels like it would be a giant pain in the ass in terms of travel and preparation and all that for the players, especially if they're feeling it right now.
But you still believe the season's over?
In terms of them winning the division, yes. I'm still, you know, I'm dug in on that. I think it's the Yankees year with the AL East. But because the American League is still pretty much a dumpster fire, and even teams that look like they're a little bit frisky, be it Texas, Oakland, hell, even throw the White Sox in, none of them are actually going to get that second wild card. So the Red Sox are still going to get in via the wild card.
I'll tell you, and again, I can't believe I'm saying this. It goes against everything I believe in, for crying out loud. I like the way they're playing right now. I feel better about the way the Red Sox are playing right now than I have at any other point in the season.
No, and even if you're down on them like I have been, or you just don't think it's going to be a repeat year for them, I get you got to give them credit last night, especially if they play that near 6-hour marathon the night before. The easy thing would be like, all right, we show up, we pack it in, try to get the hell out of here and come back home and get the hell out of Minnesota.
I'm just telling you, if they had played that series finale, last night's game, if they had played that a month and a half ago, they lose the finale, they lose the series. They lose the finale, they lose the series. Last night, they got behind in the game. They came back and won. The Twins went ahead 4-3, and I thought, well, there you go. Says Eduardo Rodriguez. They got him a couple of runs early. He's got a lead. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go out and throw up on himself, because whenever you need Eduardo Rodriguez, he doesn't respond. He doesn't respond. In fact, this team all year has not responded. You know what they did last night? They responded. They answered. 617-779-0985. Chris is in a car. Chris, do you think they're turning it around, or am I an idiot?
Well, you may be an idiot, but I still think they turned it around. No, really, I think you're right, Mass. Absolutely. I never agree with you, but this is the first time all year they've showed signs of life.
Okay, and, so Chris, you never agree with me because I tend to be more negative and cynical and critical than you are. Did you feel like they were turning it around at any other point this year?
No, absolutely not. I think, I'll tell you what, I think that series in Baltimore, they needed that sweep. It gave them a little confidence. And then they came into Minnesota, said, let's keep this going, boys. You know what I mean? And that, I think that helped a lot. But I think you're absolutely right. I think this is the best point that they've been at all year. And I think also that Cora realizes that they've got to keep this up. This is where they need to be. And they need to keep it up,
Okay, so it's interesting that you brought up Cora. He said something after last night's game that I want to get to here in just a minute. But Chris, another Chris is in a car. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, do you look ahead at the schedule coming up? Because I saw it on the schedule. They played, 14 in a row against the Yankees in Tampa Bay. Would you say that's more of the make and break time? It's coming up, I believe.
They play 14 in a row. If that's true, it's in the second half. It's not before the All-Star break.
Okay. I'm sorry. I think it might be. Believe it or not.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I've been focused on the schedule just up to the All-Star break, and I can tell you that generally they get dog crap coming up here for the next little bit. They're going to play absolute junk going into the break. They get Toronto, then they have the White Sox, then the two games with the Yankees in London, which we all hate. Okay, those two games in London, now I look at it and I go, good God, you're going to be in the middle of this stretch and you got to hop on a plane and fly to Europe, play two games against the Yankees and fly back. And then when they come back, go to Toronto and Detroit. Like, normally I'd look at that and say they should clean up on those bums. But now you throw the London trip in the middle, I feel like that could screw the whole thing up. 2 days in London. But in terms of where they play in the second half, what the key games are later on, I think the division's gone. Okay, I think the division's gone. I did find the stretch of games you're talking about, by the way, and at the end of July, they play four consecutive series against Tampa and New York, okay, which will lead right up to the trade deadline. So I should have noticed that earlier in the year, and I did not. But as I said a second ago, Alex Cora said something after the game last night that led me to believe that the Red Sox are starting to get dialed in again. Okay, I'll tell you what that was when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, it's been a topic of everybody that, you know, it's a team that they got 40-whatever wins and the best record in the American League. We came here and yesterday we played a great game. We bounced back today. We won the first one. They have a good team. They have a good team, but we do too. We're playing a lot better lately, and now we go home, and we know we have to play better at home. That's the next step, the next challenge. You know, we got, what, 6 games? So go over there and then start dominating in Fenway.
So this is when I like Alex Cora, when he's focused on the next challenge. And he's talking about where the Red Sox still need to get better. That's why the comment before the game the other night, the 17-inning game, when Cora sat there and said, oh, yeah, it's starting to feel like last year again, or it feels like last year, that bugged me. It suggested, oh, yep, we've got it. Everything's fixed. All good. Last night they win, and you know what he says? Now we just have to get better at home. We have to get better at home. And he's right. The Red Sox have been garbage at home this year. You know what the record is at home? Do you guys know? If you had to guess?
I can't put on an actual
number. Is it a game or two under 500?
Yes. They're exactly 500.
I figured
exactly
it was
500. Okay, 17 and 17. But for them, that's awful. That is awful. Historically, when the Red Sox are good, they dominate at Fenway Park. Corey used that word, and he's right to use it. They dominate. They play over 600 baseball at Fenway Park. Last year, they had the best record in the majors and only had the best record on the road, too. They went 57 and 24 at home. The year before that, they won 48 games at home. I mean, you know, 48 and 33 or whatever, that's 15 over. You do that on the road, that's 30 games over. You're in fabulous shape. 30 games over 500. I mean, that gets you what, 96 and 66? I mean, that's pretty good. The year before that, they won 47 games at home. They were 13 over. Right now, 17 and 17, inexcusable. They need to get a lot better at that. So again, your calls on the team. Do you believe that the Red Sox have turned some sort of corner finally? Because believe it or not, after this series with the Twins, I do. I do. I feel like they've turned a corner. What worries me now is that stupid trip to London that's coming up with the Yankees. That has me a little concerned. And then beyond that, we'll take your calls on the David Ortiz situation. And I want to introduce a topic here in a minute that I don't typically do, but something that happened in a Little League game. If you saw some of this on Twitter the other night, talk about an embarrassment. Rob is in a car. Rob, what do you got?
So I was going to talk about David Ortiz.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I know everybody's kind of thinking that there was some sort of a conspiracy going on, but I don't know. I just kind of don't see it. I'm kind of going by Occam's razor, if you've ever heard of it, where, you know,
I have not.
Solution. Yeah, so it's just the simplest solution is like the most likely solution, and you cut off everything else. And so, you know, my thought process was kind of that, you know, he was shot in the back and it's a case of mistaken identity. So, you know, you put the two and two together, it kind of makes sense to me. So I was kind of wondering what you think about that.
Rob, have you followed the story closely?
Not very closely. But I do understand that there's a whole number of different things going on about, you know, rumors and whatnot. So
do you know that there was someone sitting in the bar watching the whole thing who had a hand in it, who was facing Ortiz and knows that, and presumably knows that it was him when he was shot in the back and didn't react to it at all?
No, I honestly did not know that. That's why I'm calling it.
Okay, so look, I understand what you're saying. Like, I get that whole idea. The simplest scenario is probably the most plausible. What I would say to you, though, is in this case, isn't the simplest scenario that everybody in the Dominican knows who David Ortiz is, and therefore the idea of mistaken identity is absolutely preposterous? Like, to me, that's a simple thing. The unusual thing to believe there is that someone didn't recognize David Ortiz and shot him by mistake. That's how I would look at it. And I have a hard time believing that this was a case of mistaken identity. And I know someone accused me of xenophobia last night on the program. And honestly, sorry. But I don't trust the authorities in the Dominican, given the economic climate in the Dominican, the disparity of wealth, and the absolute likelihood of corruption there. I don't believe that for a second that someone didn't know that that was David Ortiz. Rich is in a car. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, Tony, what do you think about this trip to London? Don't
hate
it. Sound like you're so thrilled.
I hate it. Do you like it?
I have a bunch of tickets. My friend's backed out. You got a couple of people that want to go with me or a couple of people that want my tickets?
Okay, I'm going to let you go, Rich. I think you're being a wise ass. I have zero interest in the Red Sox going to London, and let me tell you, Alex Cora right now, I'm willing to bet, looks at that trip to London and says, you got to be kidding me. Now we got to deal with this. And he knew it was coming, so he's not surprised by it, but his team is just now starting to get it back together. And again, what I focus on last night and in this series with the Twins is the way the Red Sox responded. They beat the Orioles. They went to Minnesota. And we said this over and over at the start of the year. They were having trouble winning the first game of a series, of getting off on a good foot, of taking advantage of a new beginning. They were having problems with that over and over and over again. They get to Minnesota. They finally win a series opener. I told you earlier in the year, against New York, Tampa, Cleveland, Houston, the Red Sox were 1-7 in those series. One. In all but two of them, they lost the first game. They went 2-6 in series openers. So they get to Minnesota. They are given the opportunity yet again for a new beginning, and they actually responded and capitalized this time. Then in game two, they lose in 17 innings, a back-breaking defeat, potentially, that took almost 6 hours. They use 9 pitchers. They come out the next night needing 7 out of Eddie Rodriguez. He throws 71 in the first 4 innings and blows a lead, and they're behind. It felt like a loss. And you know what they did? They responded. Rodriguez responded. The team responded. They came back, and they won. And they won going away. So they went into Minnesota. They beat a team with the best record in baseball. They won 2 out of 3, and they showed a willingness to, and what's the right word? They showed an ability to respond both in the first game and the last game. That, to me, meant something. Joe's in Northboro. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so my mother watches the Spanish Channel News, and per her, apparently there was some sort of mistress involved. And that's where, and this is about David Ortiz, and that's where some of that issue is stemming to. I don't know if you guys could look into it for me, because she told me today and my mind was blown. Thanks.
Okay, so Joe, this has been on the web for a couple of days. The Daily Mail reported this several days ago when the story first broke. That, and again, take it with a grain of salt. Murray, you know the reputation of the Daily Mail better than I do. Shady?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of a tabloid. I mean, it's like the Herald of the UK in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't know.
The Herald or worse?
Yeah, probably a little worse.
Okay. Like National Enquirer type of stuff?
I don't know. They get a lot. I go to it every day. I mean, at the very least, it's entertaining. A lot of them, you know, at least the major news, it feels like it's pretty accurate. But some of the stuff, it's salacious.
Okay. And again, I'm not telling you it's wrong. I'm just asking because I'm trying to be fully on the level here. So the story in the Daily Mail was that Ortiz was having some sort of relationship with a woman who was the wife of a drug lord, and that there was also a story that came out of the Dominican in the immediate days after that Ortiz was warned about it before he was shot in the back. Now, is that what it is? I don't know. Does it warrant it? No, of course not. Absolutely, it doesn't warrant it. So, but that has been out there for a little bit, and, again, I don't know that we're ever going to get to the bottom of this story. This is... You're talking about a very influential person in the Dominican Republic, and rightfully so. And I have and in that country, the people that have any money at all have tremendous, tremendous influence and power. 617-779-0985. Murray's got your headlines. We'll continue with your calls on David Ortiz. I want to get to Eduardo Rodriguez, too. We'll do that when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Reporter with Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was more aggressive in the edges of the strike zone. He was relentless again. You know, fastballs up, changeups down, good two seamers to lefties. You know, if it wasn't for that big inning we had in the eighth, he was going out for in the eighth. We felt that the stuff was still playing, and we had some good matches coming up. The last two starts for him, we needed them, and going deep in the games and giving us a chance to win. And we're very happy with the way he performed.
Did you catch that? Alex Cora, we're very happy with the way he performed about Eduardo Rodriguez. If you pay attention along the way, you know Cora's tough on Erod. He's tough on him. I mean, they believe Eduardo Rodriguez is not living up to his potential. And overall, they're right. Last night, he went seven when they needed seven. He had 71 pitches, I think, after four innings, which is way too high. He ended up with 110 through seven, which is pretty good. 39 pitches in the last three innings. He got more efficient. He got economical. And you know what? Eduardo Rodriguez, there are three guys on this staff that have made every turn in the rotation. Sale, Porcello, Eduardo Rodriguez. He leads them in wins. He's third in innings. I'm not telling you he's some sort of superhero because the guy's a middle of the rotation starter. But this year, the Red Sox are 11-4 when Eduardo Rodriguez pitches. Last night, for him to sort of put it together in the middle of the game and get through seven. Oh, that was a big development. Don't sell that one short. That was a big development. Bunch of you on the line here. We'll take all your calls. I just asked that. If you are on hold, please try to make your point quickly so we can get everybody in. Okay, Ben in Westminster. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, Tony. I just wanted to talk about the series in London real quick. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that they're going over to London. They're finally getting a little momentum. That is the perfect series to go out there and get crushed in two games by the Yankees, come back tired, and then drop games you shouldn't drop against bad teams. And just to add to that really quickly, does this scream PR with the soccer foot fairies out there and Henry's team out there? I mean, that just screams PR opportunity to me. I think this is a John Henry gimmick.
So look, Ben, I mean, it's hard to not connect those two, right? I mean, there's got to be a reason why Henry's so eager to go over there, and baseball's thrilled to have the Red Sox and Yankees go over there. I don't know if they're going to get their ass kicked in London or not. Here's what I know. It feels like they've woken up. They played better in this series against a good team than they have against any good team all year long. They really have. Now they get that stupid London trip. I mean, it's one of those things that makes you look at it and go, you know what? It's just not their year. They got up to a bad start, which is their fault, but now it's coming together and now other things are breaking against them. That London trip here in the middle, I can't tell you how much that bugs the crap out of me. Rob's in East Boston. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, what's up, Tone? So, the reason why I think this trip is good, I agree with you, too. They're looking good. I think they're there. But I think this is going to be the true test of who they really are. They go there and they blow it. They lose. They're not really there yet. If they do, they go through it, then they're serious contenders.
Yeah, so Rob, I just think it's a kind of trip that would screw any team up. You know, it's a two-day trip. So you got to fly across the pond. You're playing in a time zone that's, 6 hours ahead? Might even be seven. But whatever it is, that's a significant time change. That's double going to the West Coast. Double. That's how you have to think of it. It's only a three-hour time difference on the West Coast. Coming back from London is, an eight-hour flight or something to that effect? So you're really going to mess with the team for 2 days. It's like that Japan trip they did that year. Although that year, Jimmy, didn't they win the World Series? Was it 08? What year did the Red Sox go to Japan? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 08.
Was it 08?
2008.
Okay, so they made the LCS that year, but I felt like, I just feel like the teams that go overseas and play in baseball, I think those games end up screwing you up more than anything. Were you about to say something, Murray?
Well, no, I mean, I was trying to think, maybe you can make a case for, you know, Seattle got off to that hot start because they started their season in Japan against Oakland, and they've become a dumpster fire and selling off, and Encarnacion is now with the Yankees, you know. I'm with you on that. Like, I think that...
And Oakland has sucked all year.
Yeah, it's almost unfair a bit to those teams that have to go through that. I do think that it puts you behind the eight ball.
Oh, God, I hate it. I hate those trips. It just screws teams up, I think. Steve's in Billerica. Steve, what do you got?
Tony, don't be fooled. And I don't think the schedule out to London... Listen, when Brazier comes off bereavement trip and he comes in and closes a game, and then his very next outing they have him pitching in the seventh inning. I mean, what kind of order is that? You cannot have Bonds closing games.
Steve, I don't like the bullpen either. Do you think they responded better in Minnesota?
Yeah, but look at Bonds. Bonds is throwing balls. Bonds is a chase pitcher. He has a case of the balls. Let's take the rest of the bullpen. They have a case of the walks, case of the ball. You cannot walk people in late innings. And Bonds is a ball thrower.
Steve, and you didn't mention the worst culprit, Workman. Workman walks people constantly. So, again, nobody said the bullpen's better. The bullpen's not. In theory, you can address that. I'm telling you that the overall response of the team in Minnesota was better. It was better. They responded in Minnesota. Jay's and Shirley. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking the call, guys. A kind of conspiracy-based question for you. Do you think it's more likely that Poppy is involved in more salacious things that we want to believe he is or that we think he is? Or do you think it's more likely that with the corruption down in the Dominican that the government is saying that, you know, wrong guy, everything's fine, come on back, Poppy, because they're on the take and they're trying to, like, set him up so that the guy that, you know, put the hit out could finish the job? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so, Jay, look, I I'm not saying that the authorities down there want harm to come to David Ortiz, because they don't. None of us do. None of us would want that. Again, he's a very warm, engaging guy. He's also human, which means he might have some friends that he grew up with that are sketchy that he hasn't been able to completely break from, or it might mean that there's some involvement that he got into with a woman that he shouldn't have. None of which justifies what took place down there. None of that justifies that. And again, the likelihood here is that we're never going to find out what really happened. Because I think in the Dominican, they're going to bury it. I just think they're going to bury it. And so, but my question to you is, do you think David Ortiz feels safe going back there? Because I don't think he does. And part of the reason is that they really haven't gotten to the bottom of it. Because I don't buy this mistaken identity bullcrap for a second. And you know what? Deep down, neither do you. Jed's in Newton. Go ahead, Jed.
Yeah, just on that point about Ortiz and prosecutors, I think you guys have been right. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Jed, I'll tell you what. I got to put you on hold because it's a horrible connection. So sit tight. Hopefully you'll get to a better area and I'll bring you back. Dave's in a car. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, Matt and Murray. Just wanted to ask you guys, because the votes are starting soon, if anyone on the team you think is deserving of an All-Star game spot.
So I do, Dave, but before I let you go, is there anyone that you think is deserving? Because I want to see if you come up with the same guy.
I'd say Bogaerts.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's your lock. I mean, he above it, anybody else should get it. I mean, obviously, I think Sale and Price should get some votes, too. You could get some votes for Rafael Devers. But a guy that absolutely, positively should start for the American League at shortstop, it should be Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, so I think they changed the format this year. Billy gave me this story a while back, Billy Lanny, and honestly, I never fully sunk my teeth into it. So Billy tried to educate me, and I preferred ignorance. I sort of chose that path. But I would say that, like, Xander Bogaerts, the last I heard, was fifth in the American League in All-Star balloting. Murray, you couldn't be more right, and the caller couldn't be more right. Bogaerts should be number one. He's been the best shortstop in the American League. He's been the best player on the Red Sox. Xander Bogaerts should absolutely be the number one shortstop in the American League in the All-Star voting.
Who's won, Lindor?
You know what? I don't even know.
Just because of the name, I guess.
If you want to take a quick peek, that'd be great. But let me also say that, you know why? You know who's to blame for him not being number one? Red Sox fans. That's what this thing is. It's a popularity contest. The fact is that the team hasn't tickled your funny bone the way that it has in other years. They had an epic year last year, and they came out of the gate slow, and you, like a lot of people, have written them off. And I can't say I blame you, because they deserved it with the way they played out of the gate. They went 6-13. So, you know, attendance is down across Major League Baseball. TV ratings are down across Major League Baseball. And so if you've lost interest, I get it.
Well, this is as of 2 days ago, and he's not even in the top five.
Okay, where is he now?
I don't know. It only goes to five, okay. And he ain't in it.
So that is a disgrace.
It's Jorge Polanco, Carlos Correa, Gleyber Torres, Tim Anderson. He is having a good year with the White Sox, and Francisco Lindor.
Okay.
But still, it should be Bogaerts one. That's or two. I can understand why people are voting for Polanco.
So Bogaerts has a higher OPS than all five of those guys. The last time I checked, he was number two in the majors at his position. The only guy that was higher in OPS was Trevor Story of the Rockies, and this was a few weeks ago, so it might have changed. And Trevor Story plays in Colorado, which, again, you might as well hit from second base. Like, that's what that place is a joke. Again, the fact that Bogaerts isn't higher is a reflection on the people voting at Fenway Park and on the internet. The Red Sox used to dominate this kind of voting. I'm glad the caller brought this up. They used to dominate this kind of voting. And they don't anymore because their fans don't care as much as they used to. And don't tell me that you do because you're lying. Jed's in Newton. Go ahead, Jed.
Yes, just on the Ortiz question. You're right. This story makes no sense. It doesn't smell right. But there is something that prosecutors might be up to. Two possibilities. One, this defendant is cooperating. He just says, look, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. Give me some deniability that I was trying to kill Poppy, and I'll help you guys out and flip on some bigger conspirators. Or secondly, they're trying to help keep him alive in jail. They give him this cover story. It allows them to at least increase his chances of staying alive to be a witness against the bigger gangsters.
Okay, Jed, you might be right. I mean, I suppose that there was the possibility here of some grander plan that is, and I use the word devious, but smart. I don't know if I give them credit for being that smart down there. And the second thing is, 6 days ago, a spokesman for the prosecutor's office down there said the opposite. He said that the reason why the guy was yelling out the cell to reporters that they made a mistake is because if it got around in prison that he had attempted to hurt or murder David Ortiz, that he had been the one that shot David Ortiz, that his life would be in jeopardy in prison. So again, the prosecutor's office said the opposite 5 days before the press conference last night, 6 days ago now. 5 days before the press conference, they said the exact opposite, that it wasn't a case of mistaken identity, that any suggestion was such suggestion was bogus. That's what they said. Then they come out and hold a press conference and they say mistaken identity. It feels like a clown car. It does. And if I were Ortiz, that would worry me. Unless there's something going on so clever on a higher level that it's getting by all of us. And I just don't feel like it's that kind of operation down there. Quickly, big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. There is no game tonight for the Red Sox, so we don't have a matchup for you, but thanks, excuse me, thanks to our friends at Big Y. We'll be back to wrap it up with your calls, give you the DraftKings fantasy pick of the night. We'll check in with Adam Jones, who'll be giving you NBA draft coverage tonight from the Auerbach Center. We'll give you all that when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox won't get Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series? Plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Maz.
Every Thursday, and we'll be doing this more regularly now that the Bruins and Celtics are, obviously the Celtics have been out for some time, but the Bruins hockey season now finally over. So Baseball Reporters every night, every Thursday, the Fantasy Pick of the Week brought to you by DraftKings. You can play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON. When you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball, again, the code is BOSTON, minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So here's where we're going with tonight. Yuli Gurriel of the Astros going against the Yankees tonight, 7:05 game. He's been hot, 300 in his last 10 games, home run, 5 RBI. Just produced some fantasy points. He's going against Chad Green, who has sucked. And he's a career 323 hitter, Gurriel is, against the Yankees. And most importantly, the cost, $3,600. So we'll go with Gurriel tonight against the Yankees. That's your pick. 617-779-0985. For those of you who are interested in the NBA draft, and you should be, the Celtics have three picks coming up, 14, 20, and 22, I think it is. And our coverage is based at the Auerbach Center Celtics practice facility in Brighton, not too far from here. Adam Jones, Christian Arkan coming up in just a little bit. Jones, you there?
Yes, we are here. We are, as far as we know, we are not being moved completely outside the building yet. So, yes, we are here. We are present. We are accounted for. And we will be reacting live as the Celtics potentially make three draft picks tonight, Tony. So we're excited. It's a big night. Draft night's always a big night.
So Murray tells me that apparently there's a report on ESPN right now. The Celtics wanted the number 4 pick from New Orleans, who traded it to Atlanta a little while ago. Mm-hmm. Murray, you said that Jackie McMullen called it a blow to the Celtics?
Yes. Yeah, that was I've seen a couple of people tweet about it, so I didn't hear it myself. But I'm taking that as gospel because it's on the Internet.
So there you go. Another kick in the face for the Celtics. Jones, right up your alley to start the night.
Well, and you know, they had picks that were comparable to what Atlanta gave up. I think Atlanta was 8, 17, and 30-something, 35 maybe. So, I don't know. Does 14, 20, and 22 get the same deal? Does it get you to 4? Does it get you close? Do you have to sweeten it? So,
well, you tell me, would you rather have 8 and 17 or 14 and 20?
I would rather have 8 and 17.
Okay, well, there you go. Then the answer is no. It's not good.
Is it close, though?
No.
You don't think it's close?
6 spots in the draft, in the NBA draft?
Yeah. Throw something else in to make up 6 spots? Yeah.
Maybe the point is they didn't want to take the $12 million of Solomon Hill's contract.
Maybe.
To get up to 4, I don't know if that's such a bad thing. You got plenty of cap space. Plenty of cap space.
I bet you they threw Terry Rozier into that deal.
Maybe that cap space is slated for something else.
Well, we'll see, won't we? I guess we will find out. Hopefully we find out tonight, Jay Stu. Hopefully we get all our answers tonight. Draft picks, cap space, trades, all of it. We will have it all covered up until midnight live from the Auerbach Center.
Okay, just quick before I let you go, Jones. You said you were going to say something at the beginning of the show last night that interested me.
Yeah.
What was it again?
There was a big fish out there that was a ridiculously big fish. It was Giannis is who it was.
Oh, Giannis. Because yes. I told you I would listen on the way home, and I never actually did listen. I missed it, so I wanted to follow up with you.
That cuts deep, Tony.
It's a good plug for the show. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So, but I'll be listening tonight on the way home.
No, I'm sure. Yes. No, yeah. Good.
Murray's got your headlines. Everyone, will see you tomorrow.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.